This podcast is Challenging Opinions and is presented by William Campbell.
Thank you for downloading the Challenging Opinions podcast for April 2nd, 2018. The Civil Rights Acts of the 1960s were intended to guarantee equal treatment for all and to prevent people from being unfairly refused service. The First Amendment to the US Constitution is designed to protect freedom of expression. What happens when those two protections come into conflict? Let's listen.
Challenging Opinions is the podcast where ideas are tested. Whether you are left or right, conservative or progressive, devout or skeptic, what matters is the strength of your argument, not the strength of your voice.
On a Skype line now, I have Ilya Shapiro. He is the Senior Fellow in Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. He's also the Editor-in-Chief of Cato's Supreme Court Review. And Ilya, you were writing an article a while back called Neither Florists Nor Bakers Should Be Forced to Participate in Same-Sex Weddings. Give me the background to that. What's your thinking behind that case?
Well, that referred to one of several of the latest so-called wedding vendor cases. That is, the wedding vendors of various kinds that don't want to participate in or produce products or services for gay weddings. Mm-hmm. This one involved a florist in Washington. There's a case before the Supreme Court right now. That case is on hold, but the case before the Supreme Court right now involves a baker, a bake shop in Colorado, mm-hmm. which makes artisanal cakes and, did not want to make one for a gay wedding. And they were brought up on charges by the state Civil Rights Commission. And that has now gone to the Supreme Court. And it's an issue of the freedom of speech, mm-hmm. because they're arguing that this is an expressive business, an expressive activity, as well as the freedom of religion, because the Civil Rights Commission has treated, for example, the opposite, scenario where atheist bakers would not print certain religious messages, mm-hmm. That were anti-gay weddings, for example. Anyway, it's a big controversy, obviously, in the United States after the legalization of gay marriage several years ago. And Cato, my organization, happens to be the only one in the country, mm-hmm. to have filed briefs supporting the challengers in the gay wedding cases several years ago, and also to be supporting the wedding vendors, including Masterpiece Cake Shop and Arlene's Flowers, in these wedding vendor cases.
Give me the brief outline of why you're supporting them.
Well, it involves the freedom of speech and the freedom of association. There's a difference between government actors, state actors, which, mm-hmm. have to treat everyone equally, that cannot discriminate based on various characteristics, and private actors. And a baker and a florist and all these types of businesses are not agents of the state. And so outside some sort of extraordinary circumstance, like a monopoly, let's say it's the only hotel or restaurant for miles and miles around, and otherwise people can't get service, something like what happened during the Jim Crow era in the Deep South during segregation, outside some extraordinary scenario like that, there should be no need to force people to bend the knee to the prevailing political orthodoxy. And here there are plenty of other bakeries which would be delighted to provide an artisanal wedding cake to the gay couple in question. And by the way, this isn't a denial of service case. That is, in none of these cases that have come up, whether the one that's at the Supreme Court now or in the others, is there a restaurant or a business that says, no, we won't serve gay people. It's always, you can buy whatever you want in our shop for whatever reason. We just don't want to create something for this ceremony that we disagree with. And Jack Phillips, the owner of Masterpiece Cake Shop, also won't produce things for, say, Halloween ceremonies or divorce celebrations or bachelor parties or any other things that he feels are improper or against his convictions.
Okay. I'm wondering here, is it possible that you're making a distinction where there isn't a difference? And if we go back to, you mentioned the Jim Crow laws, I could say that I'm opening a diner or a restaurant or whatever somewhere in the Deep South, and my freedom of association allows me to say, well, I don't want to associate with black people, so I'm not going to serve black people in my diner. Or I'm going to say, well, I'll serve black people, but they have to sit way over there in the corner by the toilets. How is this different?
Well, this has a freedom of expression component added into it. It will be a more difficult case under existing law if we're talking about limo drivers or caterers. Mm-hmm. Although there, I would similarly argue that there's no need again to use force to compel service unless unless it's the absolute there's no other way to get the service for the people, and they're out of luck otherwise.
Hold on a second. That's a shady line there. Let's try and make that a little bit less blurred. You know, if there's a cake supplier that's 100 miles away, is that good enough? If there's one 500 miles away, is that good enough?
You have to use, that might become a jury question at a certain point. You know, what's reasonable? But that's the extreme case. None of these cases involve something like that. And certainly they don't involve anything like the Jim Crow South where it was a monopoly and it was a state supported, segregation laws that, businesses couldn't even serve black people if they chose. But again, here there's the, that's the next case. These cases all involve expressive, activity. Or if the court wants to debate whether artisanal cake baking or floristry, which side of the line that's on, that would be fine. There was a brief submitted in this case with 27 color pictures by various bakers just saying, not supporting any party on the constitutional question, but saying, please, court, don't say that, artisanal baking is not some sort of, artistry. It's sculpture, in fondant and buttercream rather than marble or clay or what have you.
Okay, let's get an analogy.
Let me continue.
Go ahead.
The most people would accept that artists and photographers and writers that these are clearly expressive arts. Are you really going to force a newspaper columnist to write a column about in favor of some position that they disagree with? Probably not. So most of the argument here is, oh, come on, this is a baker. What you've been saying, that they're turning someone away, because they're gay. And the point is they're happy to serve, whoever, gay, straight. They don't want to be associated with a gay wedding.
What I want to go back to there, you said that they're happy to serve. Isn't that possibly more oppressive? Because I'm looking at the Masterpiece Cake Shop website here, and I can see that there's nice photographs of them making artisanal cakes. I don't see any flashing banner saying, by the way, if you're gay, don't bother calling because we won't serve you. I think it was offered in jest, but I remember one particular gay rights advocate saying, yeah, let people discriminate as long as they put a 6-inch high, in 6-inch high letters across the front of their shop, we don't serve gay people, and they put that prominently on their website. These people don't. And what's likely to happen here is that somebody goes along and orders a cake and then will be turned away and they'll be humiliated. It seems to me that some of these people, they don't want to give their services to gay people, but they don't want to lose out on the business from those gay people's friends and relatives. So they're keeping it on the down low that they discriminate until the actual person who gets discriminated is in the store and gets humiliated.
Well, I don't think that's right. I mean,
looking at the website here. There's nothing on this website that says, it's the very first word they say is welcome. It doesn't say welcome brackets if you're white and straight and Christian or whatever.
Right, because they don't turn away people based on these other characteristics. They simply won't. If you're a straight couple or if you're a single individual that wants to have a cake made to celebrate,
your wedding.
Obergefell, the Supreme Court's ruling in that legalized gay weddings, gay marriage. They would turn you away, but it's not about you. It's not about your status. But again, the point is, there's been no compelled speech precedent, mm-hmm. and so this is. That's where most of the argument is. Can you for this very important interest of preventing societal discrimination? Can you compel someone to speak and or create artistry or what have you? And the Supreme Court has a long line of precedent that all sorts of even if there's no wording on the cake that they demanded, the symbolic speech is protected, whether it be flag burning or exotic dancing or tattooing or lots of things like this. So,
hold on for that, Ilya, because there's two separate issues here. One is what you were saying, and we should explain it maybe for the listeners, compelled speech. And compelled speech basically means that you as an individual, as a citizen in the United States, you can be prevented from saying some very narrow range of things, and the libel laws and some other things can, in a very defined way defined by the Supreme Court, can say that you're not allowed to say some very specific things. But the Supreme Court has never, as far as I know, you might know better than me, permitted that the government or no government agency or no third party seeking to vindicate their rights can force you to say something that you otherwise didn't want to say. So that's the issue of compelled speech. And that is going against the issue of discrimination, and people who are perhaps not Christians or just want to celebrate Halloween for any reason, and apparently these bakers believe that that's against their Christian faith. The bakers are saying, and tell me if I'm summarizing this correctly, that if we make a Halloween cake, that's essentially forcing us to endorse a religious viewpoint that we don't accept. Am I summarizing that correctly?
Well, forcing them to celebrate something that goes against their convictions.
Okay. Well, my question then, Ilya, is how far can that go? If you are the printer in town, can you say that somebody can't have their wedding invitations printed or their invitations to a Halloween party perhaps printed at our print shop?
Certainly. Certainly. I mean, that's on much safer ground, if you're engaged, that's a First Amendment protection, absolutely. And for, if you don't want to celebrate, if you don't want to, make flyers for, the latest Donald Trump rally or the latest, Nation of Islam rally or what have you, I think you're on safe ground in saying,
let's move one step further. If you want to buy a ring for your wedding and the jeweler overhears that you are gay, is the jeweler entitled to say, we're not going to sell your our rings to you?
Well, that's a closer case. Custom ring making, is that the type of artistic art that's typically protected? I mean, the point is, if the court is going to have an argument about where to draw the line, that's fine. I mean, the line should be drawn somewhere. Not every activity gets First Amendment free speech protection. Mm-hmm. If that's not the way the Supreme Court argument mostly went. There was some discussion about whether artisanal cake baking is protected. It was mostly kind of went in a different direction. But, I would argue that there is that line, and let's have that argument about whether which side of the line the cake bakers and the florists, fall. There are dueling briefs, about that. But it seems to me that if you can't compel Michelangelo to make a statue for the wedding, then you similarly can't compel Jack Phillips to make his statue out of baking products.
Okay. And there was one other case, you mentioned florists, whereby a florist didn't want to supply flowers to a wedding of a gay couple.
Well, it's not supplying flowers. It's certain floral arrangements again. Yeah. That probably is a harder case than the cake baking case. Still, I would give it First Amendment protection because of the artistry that goes into floristry. There are all these schools and academies that teach you these sorts of things. But there are a bunch of cases that have taken place and that are lined up behind this cake baking one that will certainly have to be reevaluated depending on what the Supreme Court says. Interestingly, as we're discussing this, where you draw the line issue, Eugene Volokh, who's a law professor at UCLA, one of the nation's foremost experts on the First Amendment, generally of libertarian views, and he and I have joined over the years and in various cases, including of the New Mexico wedding photographer under a similar scenario. Mm-hmm. He's on the other side for me with the baking and the floristry case, precisely on this question of does it qualify for freedom of expression protection. And so, you know, reasonable people can disagree about that. But I think it would be dangerous to say that there can be no First Amendment protection at all, regardless of, you know, not argue about whether this kind of business merits it. But if you're saying that singers and artists and photographers can be compelled, I think that's dangerous.
Okay, let's just have a look at this by analogy. If you were just to remove the gay thing, which I think is triggering a lot of people here, and say that it was for a mixed marriage, for a black person getting married to a white person, there is, people may agree or disagree with it, but there are certainly some people who can argue relatively cogently that mixed racial marriages are prohibited in the Bible. And even if they're not, people are entitled to come up with their own philosophy or religion where that might be prohibited. Would you apply the same standards to a baker or a florist who refused to serve people involved in interracial marriages?
Well, race is that's probably the hardest question in this whole case. Race is a unique thing in America's history. And mm-hmm. I think it could be argued that there's no way, to deny interracial marriage without being a bigot towards, black people, without having racial hierarchies and being a white supremacist or something like
sure.
that.
And as long as you don't act on it, or in most cases don't act on it, then there's no law against being a white supremacist.
Well, yeah, but this is acting on it. That's the point.
No, it's not if you just refuse to act on it, if you refuse to bake an interracial marriage.
Right, because you're a bigot, because you want to discriminate in certain ways.
Yeah.
Whereas in the gay marriage context, as far as the legal briefings are concerned, everyone accepts that, and the Obergefell, the ruling that legalized gay weddings, Justice Kennedy had several passages where he talks about that people in good faith, with no ill will in their hearts, are fine with gay people, but cannot celebrate this sacrament, this ceremony.
I seem to remember lots of speeches from people like George Wallace saying he had nothing at all against black people; he just wanted to keep them away from white people.
Right. Well, that's pretextual, and that's false. But race is a different history in this country than anything else. And so it's certainly a harder case. Again, we're not in the Jim Crow South, so there's not the monopoly or the state supported issue involved.
If you simply swapped out gay wedding for interracial wedding, these cases would mm-hmm. fall flat. Isn't that true?
No, because of the unique history of race in this country, as I said, and because you cannot hold a view of against interracial marriage without being a bigot, whereas you can not accept gay weddings without being anti-gay.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's an interesting position. I think there are certainly some racists who try very, I don't know whether I would believe them, but they try very hard to argue that they have nothing against other races. They just want to keep their own race separate. But we'll put that aside for the moment. And the other issue that I mentioned a moment ago on this is that it seems to me that both of these cases are entirely disingenuous. And the reason I think they're entirely disingenuous is because these traders, there's nothing about their publicity that tells you that if you belong to a certain class, for example, a gay couple wanting to get married, you will not be served. And in particular, there's nothing about their publicity that tells other people that you will not be served, say, for example, the friends and relatives of a gay person, that they will not serve or make a wedding cake for their gay friends. And I can imagine that really an awful lot of people of their customers might not have been happy to give their custom if they were aware of that. isn't there a case here that these people are just being disingenuous, that on the day when it when somebody shows up and says, I want my gay couple show up and say, I want our wedding cake, then they're told? If the people had advertised beforehand, wouldn't their case be much stronger?
Well, typically you don't have to put in disclaimers for everything that you will and won't do. Now, if they had said in their advertising, we will make anything for anyone for any reason.
The first category on their website is wedding. The first category on their website is wedding. And there are lots of wedding cakes in the photos that are so fabulous it's very difficult to...
You're making a consumer protection argument, kind of deceptive trade practices. They have nothing to do with civil rights, but deceptive consumer trade practices. That, you know, that's not what this was argued on.
I'm not, Ilya. What I'm saying is that these people had every opportunity to put a little asterisk when they have wedding, which is the first category on their website. They had every opportunity to put in an asterisk and to say that we do not welcome custom from gay and lesbian weddings. They didn't do that, and they didn't do it for a good reason, because they would know that they'd lose an awful lot of straight business if they were upfront on that.
It's just because you don't, I mean, I really don't, I mean, that's not the facts of this case. Nobody is, you know, some people have proposed that if you're going to do this, you should have a disclaimer or what have you. I mean, the disingenuousness could run the other way, because the only reason this case arose was as a test case. The couple heard that or the ACLU heard that this particular baker would not make gay wedding cakes, and so they went to this particular one rather than the one that was less than a tenth of a mile away, the next closest baker, which specifically advertises that we want to serve gay weddings.
Yeah, okay. Test cases are entirely legitimate.
Well, sure, nobody has alleged, and I don't think it can be shown that there was any bad faith in saying that and advertising the way that they did.
I can see the bad faith right here in front of me.
Well, okay, we'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
Okay, but as a general principle, and I know that you're a lawyer, and you mentioned there are lots of famous lawyers that are called Shapiro, but I know that as a lawyer, it's very difficult for you not to go to the law on this. But as a general moral principle, don't you think that you would agree that the absolute minimum line is that gay people should not be humiliated when they go to seek out services, and that if someone is intent on not serving or serving differently gay and lesbian people, that the absolute minimum would be that they should advertise that publicly, and that people should not be at the point of making an order humiliated and refused?
Well, no, because the law doesn't protect hurt feelings.
No, you went back to the law. I'm talking about it morally. Isn't it an indefensible without any statement of limitation and then humiliate people when they come to order it?
No.
No, why not?
Because there are lots of social offenses that happen in daily life, and sure, it's not nice. I'm sure the couple felt very badly, and that's I sympathize with them. I certainly wouldn't, if I were running a business, I wouldn't have this policy. But freedom of conscience is very important in this country, and we certainly shouldn't force people. The wedding vendors would feel harm in saying you can't go about your business unless you do these things that make you feel badly. And so it goes both ways. The difference, the place the line has to be drawn is whether you're a public or a private actor. The state, the government, can't treat you a bit differently based on various characteristics, but certainly private actors can. That's the give and take in a pluralistic society.
Ilya Shapiro of the Cato Institute, thank you very much for talking to me.
My pleasure.
If you like the Challenging Opinions podcast, please rate and review the show on iTunes and other podcast providers. Share it on Facebook and Twitter. Tell your friends. But most important, make your view heard. Email podcast@challengingopinions.com.
That's all for the Challenging Opinions podcast, published on April 2nd, 2018. I've got links to Ilya's articles that we were discussing and the businesses we mentioned in the show notes on the website. And if you know someone else who I should interview, or you have a suggestion for what I should cover, please get in touch with me. And you can like the show on Facebook. On Twitter, you can follow the show at Challenging O and follow Ilya Shapiro at iShapiro. But most importantly, subscribe to the show for free. You can use Google Play, Apple Podcasts, or any other podcast app or software. There's links and an RSS feed for all of that on the website. And if you don't use a podcast app or software, you can subscribe by email. Just enter your email address on the Challenging Opinions website. And each time a new show goes online, you get a simple email with a link to listen and zero spam. You can find all of that or get in touch with me at www.challengingopinions.com. Coming up next Monday, that's April 9th, I'll be talking to Bill Scherr, the contributor to Politico and Real Clear Politics. The Challenging Opinions podcast is produced and presented by me, William Campbell. Thank you for listening.